is for ladies. Ladies only.
Want to learn more about your health and sexuality? Psychology researchers at the University of Michigan are looking for women who are not on the pill to participate in a research study on health and sexuality. Participants will engage in one study session each month for a total of 5 months. So if you are a woman who is between the ages of 18 and 40 in an ongoing relationship with a male partner, not taking hormonal medications, including hormonal contraceptives or the pill, not pregnant, and not breastfeeding, call us for more information at 734-763-7121 or email us at sexresearch@umich.edu. That's 734-763-7121 or sexresearch@umich.edu. This study is being conducted by the Van Anders Lab at the University of Michigan Psychology Department. Study number HUM00025873. Listeners, this is the Sex and Tell Show, and today we have Kathleen Latosh, and she works for Affirmations, which is in Ferndale, Michigan. Hello.
Hi, and thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. I'm really excited to talk about the variety of things that we've kind of been talking about in the afternoon, but maybe first you could explain what Affirmations is and then what the LGBT Older Adult Coalition is.
Great. Affirmations is Metro Detroit's community center for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. It's the largest LGBT, that's the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender organization in the state of Michigan. It's been around since 1989. It's located in the heart of Ferndale. It's got a really nice 16,000 square foot facility. Anyone can come in and visit anytime. We offer a range of services. And in fact, right now they're doing a little plug, this Hungry for Equality strike, hunger strike, where we're having rotating strikers come through, holding 24-hour stints where they each do 24 hours of no food to bring awareness to the fact that Michigan has just gotten so bad on LGBT equal rights.
Yeah.
So they're doing 100 days leading up to the election. I think we're on
100 days.
Yeah.
I
did day three. So.
Oh, cool.
The hunger pangs go away by morning. So that's Affirmations, and I've worked for Affirmations for over 10 years. Right now, I'm doing some work around cultural competency with them on mental health issues, and I'm also working with the LGBT Older Adult Coalition. That's a group that has been around for 2 years, and it's a great coalition that includes members from a variety of different organizations, including Affirmations, but also the ACLU of Michigan, which is the fiduciary, and my co-chair on that is Jay Kaplan, who heads up their LGBT project at the ACLU, and also Natalie Pierce of Adult Wellbeing Services, and she's our trainer. She does cultural competency trainings for older adult services, and Leslie Eddy, who organizes and coordinates some activities. The Older Adult Coalition, the LGBT Older Adult Coalition, you know, we all came together, a bunch of gay community leaders, about 2 years ago, and sat down around the table saying, our older adults are coming to us and saying, where do I go? Where do I go for service? Where can I go to live when I can't take care of myself in my own home anymore? And we all sat around the table and we realized we didn't have an answer. And in fact, we then invited people from the Area Agencies on Aging and from the AARP and from Adult Wellbeing and all of these aging service providers to come to the table with us. And then we ask the same question again. Where do we send these people so that they know that they're going to be treated safely, even though they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender? And everybody looked around saying, I don't know.
Thank you.
in love, and I'm so in love. There's nothing in life but you. I never regret the years I'm giving. They're easy to give. When you're in love, I'm happy to do whatever I do for you. For you. Maybe I'm a fool, but it's fun. People say you rule me with one wave of your hand. Darling, it's grand. They just don't understand. Living for you, it's easy living. It's easy to live when you're in love, and I'm so in love. There's nothing in life but you.
If you could give maybe like an age range or like for this
we
coalition.
We keep it kind of loose. You know, we say anyone 50 and up, and our survey that we're doing right now is for anyone 50 and up.
Okay, great. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
So we all sat around the table thinking, oh my gosh, we're the leaders in this community, and yet we don't know where is a safe place to send someone. And that's kind of how the effort got started. And as we continued to have conversations, we read and learned more about the LGBT older adult population, our gay and transgender seniors, and some of the really horrible situations that they're facing. And since then, we've developed a lot of programs and services. But that was kind of the initiative for everything to get started.
Cool. What are some of the like programs that you've started through the coalition?
One of the programs, we sat down last year and developed a strategic work plan. And a big piece of that was gathering our LGBT elders together in the same room and asking them, what do you need? What's your highest priority? And so we did that, and we held a summit in 2011, a first summit, and we gathered all of the information from our seniors. And really, there are some top priorities that came out of that, clearly, from people who are facing those situations. And one is housing. Where am I going to live? Where am I going to live? Couples who are concerned about trying to find a retirement community where they can't, you know, they've been together 50 years, and they can't go live together. They can't go live together. Like, it's like a married couple all of a sudden having to take separate rooms and separate buildings. It's absurd. Or even a single person, and more likely single, who's moving into a community and can't feel comfortable having their friends there. You know, there are no standards of training for direct care staff when it comes to LGBT sensitivity. And a lot of direct care staff may not have the awareness level about what sexual orientation and gender identity mean and how they play out in somebody's life. And so they're fearful that they're going to get mistreated by some staff. They're also very fearful about other residents, because this population grew up at a time when being gay puts you in a mental institution or puts you in jail. Many of them did. I mean, shock treatment was not uncommon.
Oh, so this generation has been through that shock treatment kind
some of them have.
Era.
Very much so.
Wow.
It was an era where you didn't speak the words gay or lesbian. No one spoke those words.
Let alone be them.
Right. Let alone be them. We have people coming to affirmation support groups even now who are still in heterosexual marriages who know they're gay. People who lose a straight partner at the age of 75 and then come out. I mean, it's that much still in the closet. And so when you think about having to go and live in a new place and say goodbye to your gay community, and you go into live in a new place, how are the other residents going to handle that?
Right. And like you were telling me before with that older gentleman.
Right. Nobody wants to go and live in a new place and have everybody whisper about them, not being able to feel comfortable there, not be able to have their friends over.
Not knowing who to trust.
Yeah. We've had several community members who are really out go and live in retirement communities and say, don't call me. Don't even email me because I'm not comfortable being out.
Oh, wow.
They just totally retreat.
I can't imagine what it would be like to have the freedom of being out and then having to return back into the closet, especially at an older age.
That's for housing. Yeah. Another big fear was isolation, social isolation. You know, it's a lot of people live alone in the LGBT community, especially as they age. 9 out of 10 older adults, LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender older adults do not have children to help care for them. And that's compared to only 2 out of 10 straight seniors. So
that is huge difference.
80% of straight seniors are probably being cared for by their children, and they lean on their children. They either live with their children, or their children come in and help them, or their grandchildren. 9 out of 10 gay seniors don't have any children to help care for them. So who are they going to lean on to help care for them?
And also being scared of like letting other people in.
Very much so.
Even more isolating.
Very much so. If you can imagine a single individual older, you start to lose a little bit maybe of your strength and your confidence living alone. Anyone does. And then to let some stranger into your house, whether that's to help take care of some chore service or to drive you somewhere, or even more personal, if you have healthcare needs, for them to, you know, help you change yourself, or with meal service or something along those lines. How are they going to treat you when they find out you're gay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard of people not wanting to touch people who are gay when they find out. So there's a huge fear factor. And, 7 out of 10 LGBT older adults live alone. So they're not even with a partner. They're by themselves in a home. They're afraid to have somebody come in. They don't know who to call. They don't have kids that they can rely on. We were joking a little bit earlier about, you know, a lot of older adults think of, oh, we'll just be the golden girls in the apartment, you know. We'll all live together and take care of each other. And that's great until everyone's 85 and has a walker.
Yeah.
Then who's going to help me when I fall down the stairs? You know, it doesn't work out quite the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So
you need to have someone there.
We need to have people there, and we need to have our aging service providers trained. So that's one of the things that our LGBT Older Adult Coalition is doing, working on doing a lot of widespread training for aging service providers.
That's great.
Every quarter we do a provider network reception. So we invite all the area aging service providers to a breakfast, and we tell them about what we're doing. We're telling them about the risks that LGBT older adults face and how they can learn more about it. The next one is actually going to be in Washtenaw County
in September, October.
I'll get that date to you as soon as we have
it. Yeah, I'll put it on the blog.
And from there, we also have someone on our committee, Natalie Pierce. She's trained by the National Resource Center on LGBT Aging to be a certified LGBT cultural competency trainer. So she will do a 4-hour, 8-hour training just for your agency to train your staff on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender elder issues.
That's so great, because that definitely like doesn't happen. I mean, in a variety of fields, but specifically that one, people probably don't even think about it until you just say like, hey, this is an issue. And then they're like, oh,
right. And there's a wide kind of spread of different types of services, from home care services to chore services to short-term nursing care. You know, in case you have a medical issue that's short-term needed, there's long-term, there's rehabilitation, there's independent living, there's assisted living, and then there's in-care residential living, hospice care, memory care. So there's a whole spectrum of aging service needs, and LGBT people are more likely to be needing those because of some of the risk factors we've talked about.
Yeah.
So it's really critical that they're trained in providing safe services to people.
That's interesting. Maybe we could talk a little bit about going off of the isolation is also the risk of like suicide and things like that, and further isolation in communities.
You know, I think, and, you know, we talk a lot about LGBT as lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. And I think the transgender community is often really lumped in to the LGBT piece a lot. And they're very separate issues. Sexual orientation and gender identity
definitely.
Are very different. It's like hair color and eye color.
they're
different characteristics. And someone who's transgender is really at even greater risk for all of these things. Mm-hmm. Much more likely to be distanced from their families. When someone comes out as transgender, and they usually, in our generation, and you know, the most of the people who are transgender coming out are in their older years, 40s, 50s, 60s. It takes a while to decide to do that.
Yeah.
Now that's changing now with this generation, but we have a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, 60s who are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
They lose their families, they lose their jobs, they may lose their housing. So they're already at risk.
Yeah, there's no protection in that.
No. And they lose their health care, which is the very thing they must have in order to make it, you know, a successful transition.
Yeah.
You know, there are some statistics that show that only 25% of the transgender community gets regular health care.
25%, you said?
Yes.
Of the transgender community.
gets regular health care. And I can't think of a population that needs to have regular health care
more than that. Yeah.
There's so many health care needs involved with a gender transition. And, you know, just by virtue of the fact of going to a doctor, you're outing yourself if mm-hmm. you're transgender. So it's very scary. I mean, we've heard stories about people being turned away for service. I won't help this person. So the transgender community is really at even greater risk. We've identified this kind of, and it applies to both the gay and transgender communities, but this kind of concept of failure to thrive. And mostly it's talked about in infant care circles and what happens to an infant if they fail to thrive. They're at risk of dying. And mm-hmm. we see that with some older adults, that they become so severely isolated, so afraid of their surroundings, that there's just really just this failure to thrive. They don't have any more connections. Their social connections go away. They don't know who to reach out to. And they're really at risk of premature death at that stage.
Yeah.
On Sunday side of the street, can't you hear that pitter-pat? Yes, happy tune yourself, baby. Life can't be so sweet on Sunday side of the street. I just walk in shed, baby, walk with those blues on bread. I'm not afraid, yes, sir. Never have said I'll be rich as Rockefeller. No, sir. Gold dust at my feet on Sunside Street.
One of the things that we're doing, and we have been really blessed to get involved with the state of Michigan on this, the Michigan's offices to the services, to the aging services, has come forward, and they just did their first statewide needs assessment of all elders this summer. Mm-hmm. And as they were doing it, they'd been having some conversations, and they invited us to help them develop one just for LGBT elders, mm-hmm. which is groundbreaking.
Yeah.
There's no state in the entire country that has done this yet.
Really?
Michigan is the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Woohoo! Got one.
Got something.
Got a feather in our cap. So Michigan will be the first state to do a statewide LGBT elders needs assessment. So it's really critical that we get as many people to take this survey as possible. It only takes 20 minutes. It's online. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this website a couple times. LGBTneedsMichigan, all spelled out, .com. LGBTneedsMichigan.com. You can also get there through our coalition website, which is LGBTOlderAdults.com. LGBTOlderAdults.com.
And that will also be linked on the blog, both the survey and the coalition and a bunch of other stuff.
Great.
So, yeah.
So the survey is, it's our chance to really gather as much data about the needs across the state of LGBT elders as possible so that we can develop relevant, competent, effective services to care for people in Michigan. We are trying to get the word out through as many networks as possible for as many LGBT elders. And it also covers people who are LGBT and living with a disability. So if you're under 50 and living with a disability and also lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, the survey is for you. And also elders. And, you know, we've been using mainly electronic mechanisms to get the word out. Mm-hmm. So what we really need is for people to think, oh, I know somebody who's a gay older adult. My neighbor, I wonder if he knows about the survey. I should tell him about it. Or my aunt is a lesbian and she lives up in Alpena. I wonder if she's heard about this. I need her to take this. So it's for people who, you know, aren't necessarily going to take the survey themselves, but who know people who should be, who may not be connected.
Right, because the people who might need to take the survey might not find it via the internet.
Yes,
because
that's
the generation that probably isn't going to look on the internet for that kind of
thing. Least likely. You know, we estimate that there is some 60,000 LGBT older adults who are 65 and up in the state right now. 65,000. And we've had about 200 come to our summits. So, you know, that's 64,000 that's not coming to the gay community centers for their services. So they're going to find out about it through other avenues. So through churches. So if you're maybe someone at your church is hearing this, or maybe someone at your temple, or someone who you are in a book club with, or maybe you work in the healthcare field and you know older adults who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, pass the word along. It's LGBTolderadults.com, and we have a link right to the survey there. We need as many people to take the survey as possible. As of this morning, we had 417 people who had completed the survey. We're aiming for 750, and we've got 2 weeks to go. So we really want to meet that mark of 750 survey takers. It'll help the data be more statistically significant, so we can really relate it to creating services.
Yeah. And let me just say something to you listeners, is that don't be afraid to bring up this stuff, like LGBT, queer issues with older people that you might know, because I think sometimes we shy away from that because we think it's like a taboo topic to not talk about. But I think that the more we talk about it, the more that they're going to listen, and especially LGBT adults who might be closeted will definitely listen, and then they'll know that they can connect with you on that kind of thing. And I think that has been a huge disconnect that I've seen in like these two generations at least. And I think it's so easy to bridge that. And then also if like the LGBT like older adults know younger people, then they'll have people that they can call when they need someone to mow their lawn or move some stuff out of their apartment or something like that. So really think about that, listeners.
You bring up such a really good point. Both points, both the intergenerationality that I think everybody would like to foster, more interconnectedness between youth and older adults. But also the piece about being out as an older adult, or being afraid to talk about it with an older adult. Something that everyone in the aging service field deals with is talking about sex. You know, older adults, you don't talk about sex. And, you know, while being gay, lesbian, or bisexual isn't all about sex, there's an aspect to it. And so people won't bring this up because they don't want to talk about sex in general. So it's kind of like a double whammy for the LGBT older adult. They're not going to bring it up because they don't want to talk about sex, but this is really important for them to bring up. So they're kind of like in a double bind there.
Yeah, exactly.
But super important for people to bring up.
Thank you. have time, is there anything else that you wanted to just like put out to the listeners? We have the survey, the LGBT Older Adults Coalition, and affirmations, and
yeah, I'd really like people to know that our LGBT Older Adult Coalition is open. We welcome people to come to the table and get involved. We are in the midst, in the fall here, of developing a new kind of vision, moving the organization forward. We were just finishing up a 2012 strategic plan where we got the provider receptions. We got the training accomplished. And we held two conferences. We're going to be holding another one this upcoming summer. So we've got a lot of work that we're doing, but it's an exciting time. And we're developing more stuff for older adults. And if you work in aging services and you want to be at the table, please join us. If you're an older adult, an LGBT older adult, and you want to contribute to, you know, the conversation with what your needs are, or be an ambassador, come to the meetings. They take place every third Wednesday of the month at 9:30 a.m. at the ACLU offices in downtown Detroit on Woodward. And all the contact information there is at www.lgbtolderadults.com. You can get both the link to the survey there and sign up for our Facebook news alerts. And get information about our meetings. And there's a tab there for service providers, too. We've got a great resource guide if you're a service provider for how to look at your organization and make sure it is inclusive.
Okay, great. All right. I think that'll do it. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Kathleen.
Thank you so much for
having me. It was
really a pleasure. Thank you.
Trying to hold back this feeling for so long. Get it on, sugar.